Whoever loves me will keep my word. Whoever does not love me will not keep my words. At first glance, we might think that Jesus is teaching about obedience. And in one sense, yes, but Jesus doesn't strike me as someone who is satisfied with mere obedience. In our relationship with God, obedience is a good and necessary place to start, but there's a much better way to live. When engaged or married couples are asked about the most important characteristic in their relationship, they never mention obedience. Why? Because a servant, a slave, a dog can obey. One of the first traits always mentioned is trust, because trust is evidence of a close personal bond. Even religious sisters and brothers who make a vow of obedience don't do so in blind obedience, but it's the result of a deep personal trust in Jesus and in his plan for their lives. To Jesus, keep my word is an invitation to entrust ourselves to the fullness of God's plan for our lives. If you think about it, that invitation's at the heart of the story of the rich young man who came to Jesus looking for advice. Jesus said, if you wish to enter life, follow the commandments. In other words, obey. And he said, well, I've done this since my birth. And then Jesus looked at him with love and said, if you wish to be perfect, go sell everything, give to the poor, and then follow me. In other words, let go of everything else and entrust yourself to me. Obedience is good, but trust is far better. That difference between obey and trust played out in my oldest son's life. When he was trapped in drug abuse, after several rehab programs failed, or maybe he failed in several rehab programs, we found a Catholic community that helps those caught in a pattern of addiction. And not just drug addiction, but any addiction. The community charges nothing, accepts no government funds, and relies completely on the providence of God. The community doesn't use standard methods of counseling or medications, but brings healing through a simple life in an environment centered on work, prayer, the sacraments, truth, and personal responsibility. You might think that sounds great, but for an addict, things like work, prayer, truth, personal accountability are very difficult things. And the first 4 to 6 months, the only way they get through is through obedience. And it's good that they learn obedience, but that's not the best way to live. About 4 to 6 months in, they begin to understand the wisdom and the ways of the community, and they see God working in their lives. They begin to trust God and the community. They witness the generosity of so many benefactors, and these recovering addicts see God answering their prayers and working through the sacraments. They develop a real love for the rosary, the Mass, and the Eucharist, and it changes their lives. Obedience is good, but God wants us to get beyond obedience, to trust. As God said through the prophet Ezekiel, I will give them a new heart and put a new spirit in them. And just as the addict starts their walk in the community by praying, working, and receiving the sacraments in obedience, but then eventually is liberated by trust, God wants the same for us. Think about it. When you pray, is it something you do infrequently and mostly out of a sense of obligation? Or is it an expression of the bond that you have with God? Do you go to God only when you need something, like the divine vending machine? Or because he's your Father who knows what is best for you? What is our attitude toward the Mass? If tomorrow Pope Francis said that it was no longer a moral obligation to go to Mass every Sunday, that it was no longer a mortal sin to skip Sunday Mass without a serious reason, how often would you come? Christmas? Easter? Do you sit in the pew like you're in high school detention, enduring the Mass in obedience and then trying to slip out as fast as you can? Or are you trying to listen, to pray, to give thanks and praise, trusting that God has so many good things he wants to give to you? When Jesus says, keep my word, it's more than just following the explicit commands of God. Read the Gospels and the confrontations Jesus has with the Pharisees. A lot of times it's over this point, because many of the Pharisees became quite skilled at hiding behind the practices, obeying all the rules and the laws, but the true devotion to God wasn't there. What is our situation? Perhaps we trust Jesus. How are we at trusting the church? Do we recognize that just as God wants to give us many good things through the sacraments and the Mass, so also he wants to give us many good things through the church? For example, over 1,600 years ago, St. Augustine taught that there are certain goods of marriage, good things that are present in a marriage that, if they're safeguarded, will grow and enrich the marriage. The church still teaches that the fullness of marriage comes through embracing these four goods, embracing a marriage that is total, permanent, faithful, and fruitful. And that whatever undermines the goods of marriage or separates from the marriage will undermine and damage the marriage. And it's because of these truths that the church encourages something for married couples that promotes truth, trust, and communication between husband and wife. And as a result, has proven to reduce divorce in those couples to less than 2%. Compare that to the alternative, which results in a divorce rate of 50%, the same as our culture. But do we trust that the church understands marriage? Maybe it understands some things about marriage that we don't understand anymore. The critical component of a happy, successful marriage, which develops the goods of marriage, is one of the best-kept secrets in the church: natural family planning. Natural family planning exemplifies God's plan for true intimacy between a husband and wife. Physical intimacy, emotional intimacy, spiritual intimacy. The world's alternative, contraception, undermines marriages because it drives a wedge between the husband and the wife. It does this because it accepts a partial gift of self and rejects one of the goods of marriage, that of fruitfulness. And so we have God's plan, 2% divorce rate, versus our culture's plan. Maybe the church knows something that we've forgotten. In this and many other ways, if we ever hope to reverse the trend, we are going to have to learn to trust. Trusting God's plan is the better way for our lives. Although obedience and trust sound similar, there's a huge difference between them. Because with mere obedience, the reward you receive is something that you feel like it's the payment that you deserve, that you earned. With trust, the reward is being united to somebody I love and I admire. And as a Christian, that reward is nothing less than being united to God in the Holy Spirit. God is constantly giving us his Holy Spirit in baptism, in confirmation, in Holy Communion, in the church, in our relationships with each other. But will we get beyond mere obedience and begin to trust? Whoever loves me will keep my word. You probably know that keeping his word doesn't mean that every circumstance will go your way. Likely, it means that we will sometimes feel out of place in the world, That's because Jesus wants to give us something more than the world. He wants to give us himself. He wants to give us a loving union with him. And God has many other good things he wants to give us. In what one way or what one area of your life is God calling you to entrust yourself to his plan? Will we choose to move beyond the obedience of being God's slaves and learn to rejoice in the trust that comes from being his sons and daughters?
Let us stand.